is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 1 hour to go in the big show. Two in the books, one to go, as Barry is in San Antonio doing some comedy. So a funny thing happened on the way to Beaumont. I picked up the largest hitchhiker I've ever seen in my life. Also one of my good friends, Travis Johnson, the former Houston Texan. Before there was a JJ, there was a Trap J, the man who made 99 famous in the Texans uniform, is sitting to my right. Always a pleasure to spend some time with the former first rounder. And we were talking a lot of football because I'm trying to tap into your knowledge to get these people some information. We were talking in the break as AJ just got here, because the blitz will be going on after us. The spread now is up to 26.5 for Alabama at College Station this weekend to take on the Aggies. Aggies obviously have had a tumultuous start. Everybody says Kevin Sumlin's on the hot seat. I said one way that they can really, really solidify Kevin Sumlin and make a statement to salvage this season is
beat Alabama.
I didn't say beat them, but stay in the game, keep it close, beat the spread, play well at home because they've been playing better. How do you see that game?
They have to win. I think regardless,
he's gone if they don't win?
He's got a foot out the door anyway. I think it depends on to stay around for the rest of the season. I think it depends on how they play. They have to be able to make it a challenging game. If the spread gets covered, then you can cancel Christmas for him having a job at the end of the day.
Okay.
So, I mean, when I look at it, I say, you know what, if you lose but don't lose too bad, you keep a job. But if you win, you at least buy yourself a whole nother year.
Now, it's interesting because we were just talking about Ed Ogeron in LSU, and a guy that you know very well, and a guy that's been known as a very good recruiter.
Yes.
Right? Kevin Sumlin, same cloth. Great recruiting classes. Over and over again, he goes and gets his pick of everybody in the state of Texas. He brings in all these top recruits to go to play for the Aggies, and somehow, lost in translation,
he's a quarterback,
is everything from the recruiting process to the actual performance on the field, whether you get guys that transfer out, whether you guys, like you said, you can't get the right quarterback. For whatever the reason, his great recruiting classes have not translated to the kind of results that they were expecting on the field. I don't know if that's just playing in the SEC or somewhere else, but there's a breakdown.
Oh, I think it comes with the fact that this guy lost, what, 3 5-star quarterbacks in a two-year span. That speeds up a whole lot of things. That messes up your quarterback play, for one, because now you're thrusted into playing guys that you would have never played for at least a couple years. And I think that in itself ruined this team over and might have ruined his coaching years at Texas A&M, because outside of Johnny Manziel, you were trying to have a smooth transition where you had Kenny Trill, who went from the penthouse to the outhouse very quickly.
Yeah.
You had the kid that ended up transferring to U of H.
I was going to say, quarterbacks are now quarterbacking at U of H.
TCU.
TCU.
You know, those are your starting quarterbacks. One of those guys are your starting quarterbacks. So now all of a sudden you have this issue and you can't do anything about it. And so that's the biggest thing. Winners and losers in this game, it always, especially at that level, it comes down to who has a quarterback, and he has none. I mean, if you have a good quarterback, the other recruits are going to show up. So I think that's the biggest issue. If he can get that fixed sometime soon, he'll get the team fixed.
It looks like he's going in the right direction. He's got a freshman that's really come in and has been very poised, has kept the ball in the hands of the playmakers, has done the right things, and they've got some wins that not a lot of people saw coming. But now what you see coming is the big, bad, mean-looking train that is Alabama, and they're rolling through College Station looking like they want to keep rolling, because no one has come close to even scratching the surface of putting a chink in the armor of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
We should have beat them, I mean, but...
Ifs, buts, candies, nuts. If you had outdoor plumbing, you wouldn't be my aunt, you'd be my uncle. Regardless, that's not resulting in wins.
I mean, right now, Alabama's on a different... Everybody's... You know, when you talk about elite, you know, when everybody speaks on who's elite in different positions and stuff like that, Alabama's in a class of his own. I mean, but at the same time, I think when you look at elite college football, there's only about a handful of teams. I mean, you look at You look at the, at Florida State, you look at Alabama, you look at Clemson, you look at Ohio State, Oklahoma, you look at those teams and say
Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, no, let's take Wisconsin back.
You top look 10 at, team?
No, I'm talking about elite teams year after year.
Look at the track record.
Oh man. We're gonna talk about
I'm just saying if you're gonna mention elite, the Badgers have to be in it if you look at their track record. But
I'm
continue
talking
on.
About like I said, he keeps trying to make this team elite, and they're not elite. But
not this year, but I have. Go ahead.
But, but then you look at those are the elite teams, and Alabama is on a whole other level of the elite. So, I mean, it's hard, man, but I think if anybody's done it, the only guy who has done it, for the most part outside of Ole Miss, has been, and especially in the SEC, has been Sumlin and his team. So, I mean, the biggest issue you don't have with Johnny Manziel at the quarterback position, but I think you still have the blueprint to possibly help you win the game.
Okay, so that'll be interesting to see. Aggies and Crimson Tide from College Station on Saturday. That's a big game. Also, I wanted to get your thoughts as we get into this, and also we'll probably get into some college football. I mean, some pro football, and we can talk about some things there as well. But a guy that you've played against, a guy that you competed against, a guy that made the move to the broadcast booth, and Tony Romo. Here's a guy that everybody thought was going to fail miserably. People were disappointed he didn't come play for the Texans or the Broncos or continue his career. I've been extremely impressed with Tony Romo in the broadcast booth. We've talked about it on the air. Barry and I both said, here's a guy that sees things. He's in touch with the game enough to know what formations are coming at him, what to expect offensively. He's predicting plays before they happen, and he's giving a lot more insight to the viewers than just being able to say, wow, look at that play, 5 yards in a cloud of dust, or, you know, what a great pass, you know, 10 yards there. He's breaking down the whys and the hows, and he's giving a lot more insight to the viewer.
You got to remember, Tony Romo's a pro. I mean, much as we can like him, dislike him, or be indifferent, he's a pro. He's a guy who started at quarterback in his league for 10-plus years and played well and played at a high level. So when you look at what he brings to the broadcast booth is, you know, I never thought he wouldn't be successful. My only question is, what kind of personality is Tony Romo? Because I don't know Tony Romo on a personal note. So the question is going to the booth, it was never going to be his knowledge. It was always going to be, does he have the personality? Does he have what does he have to be able to make people feel like he's sitting right at home with them while they're watching him on the TV? And I think that's what he's done. He's shown great personality and been able to convey the game and be able to, you know what, you can't always be technical, but I think he's been able to explain the game and explain what's going on and to actually see stuff and explain to people like they're 5-year-old.
Is it jealousy? And is jealousy a disease? Brent Musburger already out there killing him, saying, Tony, you're taking time away from a pro like Jim Nantz. Let the play-by-play go guy do his job. I didn't like that. But then on the other side of the coin, I watch ESPN games, and I see a guy that I like very much in John Gruden. But someone must have gotten his ear and said, can you predict plays before they happen like Romo? Can you be more in terms of an X's and O's guy and break things down than just doing what you've done and done it well? I don't want John Gruden to do that because he's more removed from the game, but what he brings to the table.
But the thing is, John Gruden can do that. John Gruden you got to understand, John Gruden is one of those minds that he doesn't want to go into depth like that because John Gruden doesn't speak the same language as the guy at home. If John Gruden goes into talking plays, it's going to go right over the head. So John Gruden has always been a guy who he sprinkles it in there sporadically. He goes to the sluggos, the sluggo scenes. He goes to this. He talks about the blocking scheme. He talks about this. Even when he compliments players, what does he do? He'll speak on it at a technical issue and then at a technical level, and then he'll talk great things about the guy. So he always sprinkles it in, but he doesn't overwhelm you because guys that have too much can overwhelm
you. But
you
just gave me another reason why I want the people to realize how good Tony Romo is, too. When he's getting technical, he's putting it in layman's terms so that the armchair quarterback at home and whoever else is watching the game can understand it.
Yes.
I think that's very big, and I think that's why he should get a lot of credit. By the way, in the Astros game, Dallas Keuchel has now set down 11 in a row. He's at 83 pitches through 5 innings, and the Astros continue to lead 4-1 as David Price continues to pitch for the Boston Red Sox, burning the bullpen a little bit for the Red Sox as the Astros look to go up 2-0 in the American League Divisional Series. We're going to take a quick break. Travis is going to be here with me up until 4 o'clock before we turn it over to the Blitz. So we got plenty more to get to, including we'll probably pick some NFL games, and if there's something on your mind, mind. If you're here at Luke's Ice House, feel free to come on up and tell us what you got on your mind and if there's questions or things you want us to address. Otherwise, hit us up on the text message, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at TrapJ99. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
A RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Luke's Ice House, Beaumont is the place to be because there is cold beer, there is good sights, great food, and the Astros continue to win. They're up 4-1 now as we head to, the bottom of the fifth inning at Minute Maid Park, looking to take a commanding 2-0 lead in that ALDS as the Indians already set the tone, too, last night on the other side of the equation with a very dominating win against the New York Yankees. The National League gets underway tonight with a doubleheader, 6:30 Central, Cubs and the Nationals, followed at 9:30 by the Arizona Diamondbacks and your Travis Johnson, Los Angeles Dodgers, my wife's Dodgers as well. As we continue to roll on with baseball playoffs, anything you're looking forward to seeing? Because I love this time of year. The fact that we got postseason baseball and the Astros are knee-deep in it, it's a fun time to be a sports fan.
Oh, no question. I think when you get... For me, when you get baseball, basketball, and football going all at the same time, it's like, oh, this is heaven. But right now, playoff baseball is nothing better. It's nothing better than playoff baseball because it's every day. It's every day anything can happen. I mean, every inning, you know, it's amazing to watch. So, I mean, the fact that yesterday you got to watch a 5'6" guy hit three dingers, you know, in the game, all on first pitches, that was phenomenal. The fact that you're seeing a former Cy Young Award winner as a relief pitcher for, you know, the Boston Red Sox right now, that's amazing. The fact that
he's just still getting paid all that money, yeah, and coming out of the bullpen, that's amazing.
That's
too.
Amazing, yeah. So, I mean, this is great baseball right now.
You think the Dodgers can recover from that late season swoon, still having the best record in baseball? Look, Arizona's playing great ball. That's going to be a great series. Yes, the Diamondbacks really went through some pitchers the other night to get to that wild card.
Yes, they did.
Kershaw, your guy, the big ace of the Dodgers, pitching tonight. But overall, the Dodgers have taken some dings, too. Should be an interesting series.
It should be an interesting series, but like I said, I got to go with my Dodgers. The Dodgers, you know, I think, you know, late in the season when they had the slide, when Houston started sliding a little bit as well, I think everybody got a little worried. But I think you saw the fact that they were a well built team, and they're gonna last eventually. You don't want them to peak during the year. You want them to peak right now. You want them to start slowly climbing that mountain till you get to October. Till when you're in October, that's when you're playing your best ball.
Look no further than the other side of the equation in the National League, the Cubs and the Nationals, both dealing with injuries. For the Cubs, Jake Arrieta, one of their stud ace starting pitchers, not expected to start any sooner than Game 4 if it goes that far in that series. And for the Nationals, a team that's been playing fantastic baseball that has dominating lights-out starting pitching, Steven Strasburg has been basically unhittable, but the other guy that's been the consistent ace of that team, in Max Scherzer, is dealing with a hamstring issue. They're being very coy about it, but they're not sure when he's going to pitch. That could affect both teams as they try and make a long run in the postseason.
Oh, no question. Well, I don't know if you want Arrieta out there. I mean, being that every time you get a guy on base, Arrieta's not throwing, he's not picking anybody off at first.
Well, but the guy that's really bad with it is John Lester.
Lester's
the guy that won't throw over.
Oh, won't throw because, I mean, you got the yips. You know, so those are guys that you kind of want to keep them off the mound early, and you kind of, hopefully, they're in their stride late in the series to be able to give you those out. So,
you at the end of the day, then you see anybody touching Cleveland? Is it going to be Astros, Indians, and your pick, Dodgers and Nationals?
Yeah,
Cubs got hot at the end of the year.
They sure did. So, Yeah, I like those picks. Why, get out of my brain today, man. You are, you...
Dude, I live in there. You're lucky I just don't control it as much as I'd like to.
Oh, man. That's because there's too much damage in there. So, you know, I can't control it as much as I like anymore either, so...
I would just like you to stop periodically and drop bags of cash off at my house and then continue to move on with your day.
No, I can't do that.
That would be fantastic.
I can't do that.
Well, you don't have to put it in a bag. You can put it in a box. You can do a lot of things. But, I mean, I'm just – that would be nice.
Well, it would be nice for you to drop and say, you know what, I should call Lisa as well and tell her, say, hey, every now and then just drop off bags of cash at my house and leave the dogs. You know, just bring the cash, leave the dogs.
It's a package deal, bro.
You know,
it's a package deal. My pack of dogs go where Lisa and the money go.
No.
So that's why they stay at the house.
That's why they stay at the house. Is that what it
is? That's exactly right. That's how you break that down.
Or you can drop off your lead dog, Joel. Drop him off here once a week. You know, I'll keep him warm, you know what I mean? Give him a brew or something just to sit there and talk to every now and then.
People at my house aren't asking who let the dogs out. It's how they all get in. Yeah. That's all I know.
Well, you got six dogs.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not publicizing that, nor am I agreeing with that. I just know that we are an animal-loving family.
So all the listeners out there in Radio Land, I mean...
Lisa's going to kill you, too, by
everybody
way.
Knows about, like, the cat lady. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has that
one... Don't talk about Barry like that. Barry likes cats, but he's not a cat lady.
You know, like, you have, like, the cat lady who loves cats and... She'll die with 1,000 cats, and, you know, you won't even know she's missing because the cats will probably eat her up. Well, Joel has all these dogs, and you'd be like, dude, how many dogs you got today? Right now he said he got 5.5 because the Chihuahua is only half a dog. But the man has, like, 6 dogs. Easily.
You got a problem with that?
No, it's a lot of dogs, man. That's a lot of dog you-know-what to clean up, too.
Yeah. Well, I deal with that every day. Look who I'm sitting next to right now. So if I can deal with a lot of crap at work, I can deal with a lot of crap at home.
Well, you're right. That's a true statement. But you don't deal with a lot of crap at work because I'm never here.
No,
you
know, but
you probably deal with from Barry.
Well, and Nick. Don't leave Nick out of the equation.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
But outside of that, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't even know what to tell you. It's tough, man.
It is. You know, life is rough, but we got to get through it. That's why I have my dogs to protect me. And that's why you're next to me.
You know, I was just looking. It's funny because FS1 is showing these B-rolls right now.
Of the Astros. Yeah.
And it's just all these this records and watching their record on TV. I just remember a couple years ago when Mattress Mack puts out the this challenge, you know, every year for sports, he has a challenge like, if the Texans win this game by such and such, you'll get this for free. If the Astros win it all,
you get it.
Yeah, get it all. But you remember a couple years ago how bad the Astros were when he was like, if the Astros win 34 games, you can get $3,400 worth of stuff if you spend over $3,400 worth of stuff. And I think they've won 34 games that year, and everybody's like, oh man, I can't believe it. But like, look at them now, like. Mattress Mack wouldn't dare put this.
But he has.
What
he's already said, if they win it all, you get it all. You buy $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it free.
Oh, man, I might have to go.
He's taking a risk. He's taking it in the shorts on a couple of those, too, in the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl with Denver and Seattle?
Denver and Seattle, yep.
Yeah, he took it. Yeah, but, I mean, you buy insurance for all that stuff.
He does do that, too. And you know what? The run that he gets from a marketing perspective nationally and locally from all the people that cover that more than pays for whatever the insurance costs.
I mean, Mattress Mack is more respected in this city than that mega pastor over there in the old Rockets Dome. So, I mean, I love Mattress Mack. How can you not?
After what he did, I mean, whether you knew him or liked him or didn't like him before, everything that went down with Harvey and what he did, obviously the Astros honored him throwing out the first pitch yesterday, but Mack is a staple of this Houston community, and when the times were the roughest, he stood up, he basically put his money where his mouth was, and he did it again.
Mattress Mack is Houston.
No question about it. It's a great call. All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get down to some of these NFL games because we're going to get the NFL Buddha, the chocolate Buddha of love. Travis Johnson is here. He's going to break down some NFL football. If there's questions you have with another big NFL weekend, I see a guy with a very evil hat over here with a D on it. They've got a game at home this weekend against America's real team, the green and gold of the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Texans and Chiefs, and we'll talk about a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
all got along. They probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, yak, yak.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's in San Antonio doing some comedy for the weekend. Nick's taking some personal time. So Travis Johnson, the ex-first-round pick of the Houston Texans, joins me as we sit down and do a Friday from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont as we watch Astros baseball. Dallas Keuchel looks to be done for the day. Two outs in the sixth inning, did his job as the Astros continue to lead 4-1 with a runner on first base. They're going to the pen. We'll get you some information on that. But I said, without further ado, Travis, with your expertise in the NFL, we've got some big games to talk about. Football-wise, this weekend, we'll kind of break them down for the folks at home. First one from up in Big D, the Cowboys, who dropped one at home to the Rams, are home once again for a Sunday afternoon tilt against Green Bay. How do you see that one shaking out?
Well, just to piss you off, I'll say Dallas. But I think Green Bay, I think Green Bay would get it, but I mean, I would hate to see if Green Bay actually lost that game, because seeing that you're going to be there,
yes.
I think if Lisa's giving you permission, I think, yes. You know, seeing that you're
gonna
going to be there,
yes.
I think that's, I got to go Green Bay.
They're banged up, but everybody says when healthy, they're going to be okay. You believe that?
Oh, of course. No, we talking about as far as
Green Bay?
Yeah, right now they're banged up, and then your boy Ty Montgomery didn't he get hurt the other day?
Yeah, he broke his ribs, but he said he's going to play. Devontae Adams practiced yesterday. He's also scheduled to play. But, you know, that rivalry over the last couple of years has heated up again with the Packers winning the last two playoff games. That's a big deal. What's wrong with the Cowboys? What's wrong with a team that everybody thought was going to continue to roll like they did a year ago? They found their quarterback in Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott.
Dez Bryant right now is not looking elite.
Really?
Yeah, he's looking like an average. He's looking like an average receiver.
Okay. Are the Buffalo Bills for real? They're taking out a very weak Cincinnati Bengals team in Cincinnati this weekend, but Buffalo does the unthinkable, goes into Atlanta in the dome, beats the Falcons, erases them from the undefeated. We now only have one undefeated left. By the way, they're going to be on Kirby on Sunday night. But your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills?
I think they're a good team. I think when you look at Tyrod Taylor and what he's been doing, what he continued to do, I think you got to say this is a real team. I mean, the fact that they were, like you said, they were able to go into Atlanta, a new stadium, a Rocket Stadium, a stadium that sells $3 beers, and get a W, I think that's a big thing. So, yeah, I think they're for real. I probably got to go. Who they play again?
Cincinnati.
Yeah, of course. Cincinnati's dumpster juice right now.
All right, so give me, as we look around the schedule, other big games. Panthers at the Lions, Carolina 3-1, also Detroit 3-1.
That's going to be
surprises.
A good game.
Detroit 3-1 and has hung in there in every single game, including a game against the Falcons when they were both undefeated. Yeah. So the Lions at home against the Panthers, and we know what Cam's been through this week.
I'm going with the real Big D. With Detroit, with the Lions. So, you know, that's what I'm going with, the real Big D.
Is it Matt Stafford in Detroit?
Matt Stafford's in Detroit.
No, I'm saying, is he the reason?
Oh, yeah, of course. And that defense. The defense is nice. I think when you look at Glover Quinn-led defense, a former Texan.
People say he might be one of the best safeties in football.
He is. But hands down, bar none. I mean, this guy, he prepares. He should have never left Houston. We should have never allowed Glover Quinn to leave this city.
I agree with that.
And now he's out there, and he's going to Pro Bowls. He's an All-Pro. I mean, this is something, it's crazy.
Okay. All right, so let's continue to roll around the league. Another one of your former teams, the Chargers, against a winless Giants team that is just desperate for a win. They say that Ben McAdoo is the number one coach on the hot seat. Your Chargers, once again, Heartbreak Hotel, 0-4. Their kicker responsible for two of them. They get rid of the kicker. They bring in a guy that was your high school kicker.
Nick Novak played here. My high school kicker is Nick Folk.
Oh, Nick Folk was your guy last night who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah.
But the guy that arguably one of the best players for the Texans last year in Novak is now the kicker of the Chargers, but your boy Philip Rivers and company, a couple of tough losses again, but they're in New York City to take on the Giants.
Well, I got to go with, of course, my Chargers. Whether or not I believe it or not, I'm going to always go with my Chargers, because as long as Philip is the quarterback, we have a chance to win. And, I mean, I just right now, it's just tough seeing how bad this team is right now on both sides. I think
the Giants are that bad.
I mean, their offensive line, like, I used the word dumpster juice already. The offensive line is that dumpster juice.
Okay, and that's a very gross thought.
I mean, think about that. Have you ever thought about that?
I've thought about it way too much already. Cardinals at the Eagles. Eagles 3-1, one of the surprises again in the NFC, hosting a Cardinals team that's been a huge disappointment ever since they lost David Johnson.
Oh, well, I think when you look at Carson Wentz and what he's doing in his maturation process from year one to year two, it's exciting to watch. I think when you look at his crop of receivers, you look at those guys and say, these guys are an it team. They're a young team. I think when you lose a guy like Darren Sproles last week, I think it kind of hurts from the leadership standpoint. But, of course, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Okay, Eagles at home. Jaguars visiting the Steelers. Steelers might be the most scrutinized, criticized 3-1 team on the planet, but they still have Big Ben and A.B. and company. If A.B. can leave his hands off the water jugs and the assistant coaches. Jaguars right away out of the gates with the big win against the Texans in Houston, but since then have been completely up and down as they continue to try and stay relevant at 2-2.
I think it depends on what defense shows up. That defense that played here on Kirby, if that defense shows up against the Steelers, I think the Steelers are going to be in for a rude awakening. I think last week you saw Le'Veon Bell get the ball a little bit more and be fed the ball. So I think if they stick to that, if they feed the beast, feed Le'Veon a little bit more, and then play action pass to Bell, then the Steelers win. So I'm going to pick the Steelers just because I believe that because of the blow-up last week on the sideline, they're going to make a point to make sure they get A.B. the ball.
What's wrong with Le'Veon Bell? Is it that he's trying to avoid being hurt because he wants the big contract? Is it the holdout for all of preseason?
No, I just think it's just the fact that the team right now, I mean, regardless of what we've always thought about the Pittsburgh Steelers have always had just okay offensive lines. They've never been a big offense. I mean, even when they won the Super Bowls, the offensive line were just okay. They actually were the weak point of the team. I mean, when you really think about it, but I just think they just need to get Le'Veon just needs to get in his groove. And I think the offensive line needs to block a little bit better because Le'Veon doesn't need much. But if he gets a little bit, he's going to take it.
Okay. Interesting. The Raiders are at home at 2-2 against the Ravens 2-2. No Derek Carr for at least the next 2 weeks as he has a broken bone in his back. I expected back in about 3 weeks. Ravens, again, up and down, hot and cold. Flacco self-appointed to him as being he sucked. Last week, the Ravens have kind of been way hot and were way cold, and now they visit a Raiders team that desperately needs a win.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I mean, unless, really, you know what? I'll take that back. I'm going with the Raiders.
Okay.
You know what? Because the Raiders, all they got to do is pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball. Let Beast Mode earn his keep because he hadn't been great since he's been back.
But he hadn't been bad.
He hadn't been bad. He's been efficient.
And how about the surprise of the NFL? The L.A. Rams are 3-1. Hosting the Seattle Seahawks at 2-2. Seattle defensively looks like all Seattle teams do, but boy, oh boy, offensively, they got problems.
When you look at those three, that being 3-1, I think that's a big deal. I think when you say, let's go out here.
Jared Goff was a guy that everybody was declaring a bust after only 1 year in the league.
You can't declare, and I hate that because you know what? Quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, were thrown in the fire. They were looking at him versus Wentz. Well, he had a better team. Wentz had a better team than he did in L.A. So, I mean, you got to let this guy learn. And I just said, he's given his second coach in his second year, a second offensive coordinator, second quarterbacks coach. So it's a lot to deal with. And the fact that now they're able to get to him and be able to make sure everything is rolling. We see Todd Gurley making plays. You see those guys running the ball and offensive line getting better. That all helps the situation.
But they gave him weapons, too, because you always knew you had Gurley, but you just loaded the box up because they said, beat us passing. Well, now you got Sammy Watkins to go with Tavon Austin, to go with the guys that they have to build and put around the kind of team that they've always wanted to have offensively. Now it looks like they've got the pieces. They got a young coach that everybody was saying was too young to be a head coach, but even he has proven that he knows what to do and how to do it. And the Rams look like a very, very good team this year.
They are. They're a solid team. Right now they're trying to become winners. And I think that's what they have on the marks. They're trying to become winners and get to 9 games, then get to 10. You know, I think, and that's a possibility with how good they really are this year and what they're showing they can do.
All right, so the game that everybody wants to know about, that's the big one down on Kirby. Sunday Night Football, the big stage, Deshaun Watson and the Texans hosting the only undefeated team left in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs. How do you see that one going? And don't tell me just because you were an ex-Texan.
No,
tell me because you're an NFL expert.
No, because you know what? Tell you the truth, I'm going to go with Kansas City on this one. It hurts me to say it. You know, but right now Kansas City's the best team in football, and I think they've proven it week in and week out. And I think when you look at Kareem Hunt and what he's done in the run game, you know, this is a rookie who exploded on the field. You look at Alex Smith, who is almost revitalized his career with throwing the ball. I mean, Alex Smith right now is doing what he did in college, throwing the ball downfield and stretching the field out. I think he's seeing it more. Everybody's putting a lot in the box for Kareem, thinking he's going to check down Charlie, and he's pushing the ball. So I think that's a big deal. When you look at this defense, you look at Justin Houston. Everybody forgets about Justin Houston because he's in that famed 2011 draft class of J.J. Watt, Von Miller, and the rest of those guys. But right now, that's the greatest pass-rushing draft ever.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. People are sleeping on Alex Smith because they've always said that he's just a game manager. But guess what? When that's what he's been expected to do because that's what the teams wanted him to do. But now Andy Reid's letting him kind of think out of the box, ad-lib a little bit, do some things inaudible at the line. He throws a very good deep ball. He's a better athlete than people know because he can use his feet to get outside the pocket. And overall, they're a totally different offensive team. From a team that thought once they lost Charles that they weren't going to have a running game, to add a guy like Hunt, to have the weapons with Hill on the outside, that team on both sides of the ball is a very solid football team.
No question. Like I said, they are the best team in college football
for
a reason. Huh?
Pro football.
I mean, pro football. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
I'm watching this Astros game and talking at the same time.
Right. That's something, you know, multitasking is something you've never been very good at.
Yeah.
But we'll continue to roll on because that's what everybody wanted to hear. So a big game. And by the way, if Deshaun Watson plays well, if the Texans play well but they don't get that win, is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
That still tells you they're on the right path.
Yeah, they're on the right path because as long as Deshaun Watson can continue to get better, that's all that matters.
There you go. All right, so Travis Johnson and I for one more segment before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We're at Luke's Ice House here in Beaumont, Texas, where the people are great. The cold beer is served fast, and I'm telling you what, it's a great atmosphere. You should be here. 2325 Calder, come on out to Beaumont and see us at Luke's Ice House. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. It's the Blitz next, but right now we are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Marcus, were you actually shocked how much they were trying to attack and go at you tonight?
Man, hell no. They wasn't attacking me. I killed my damn self. You feel me? I should have kept backpedaling on that first touchdown. You feel me? Got a little push in the back, but it's the game of football. You feel me? I came out and I was hella weak today. You feel me? I gave up two tugs. But we came out with the victory, so I'm going to take it as a learning experience. You feel me? We're going to chalk it up and go in the meeting room, and then, you feel me, kick back, chill, and relax.
And you caused a fumble at the end of the game, of course, and Justin got that for the touchdown. How do you feel about that?
That made my game go from hella weak to weak. You feel me? So I ain't hella weak. I'm just weak this week. Next week, I'll get back on my shit, though. So, yeah.
What happened on the sideline? So, like, maybe in the crowd?
Oh, you know what happened? I'm finna go get loaded.
Marcus Peters of the Kansas City Chiefs is going to be playing in the defensive backfield against your Houston Texans. It looks like he's basically telling the world he will be back after a weak performance last week. That is a really good football player, Travis. I don't know about his PR skills. I don't know that.
He's just all Oakland, man. That's how them guys. He is Marshawn Lynch at the defensive back position. When it comes to their personalities and how they give interviews. And it was spot on. I mean, when he said it went from hella weak to just weak, you know, that's him.
And then he said he was going to go out and get drunk. So is that from an NFL perspective, after a really tough football game and you get done with your stuff, you get the next day off and you guys just go out and...
Go out and get a start on the plane there, on the plane back home.
Okay, you're at home, all right? You're at home. You're not on the plane where we weren't supposed to have this kind of shenanigans going on, but okay.
Well, I mean, if not, you will call it. If not, you just sit there and go home and get it in.
First of all, don't tell me anything about going home. You were going wherever the drinks were cold and the chicks were hot and whatever else was going on.
For me, I'm going to tell you, for me, it was never, we had our other days that we would go out. Like Thursday was my big day to go out. You know, that was D-line dinner and stuff like that. But As far as like after a game, I was trying to wind down, so it was a lot of family. I would get bloated, but at the same time, I'd probably be with my family more than anything else. You know, take the wife out. My parents might be in town, or you know, most times they came to home games, so of course I go hang out with them.
Well, you talk about, you know, my family and dogs. It's just your family, period. I mean, you guys have more pound-for-pound relatives and bodies in the house at any one time than most people that I know.
Well, I mean, during the hurricane, we did have 21 people in the house, but that was
and
different.
Dogs.
Yeah, we did have
yeah,
dogs.
There
we
you
had,
go. All had, right, see, be careful what you wish
we
for.
We had three dogs. Well, actually, we had four dogs, but we still didn't have Joe Blank dogs.
Stop it. My wife is listening. She's going to kill you.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean,
well, you know what's the beauty of our house? We don't have 96 relatives staying at our house, hurricane
you
or not.
You have 96 dogs.
No, I do not. By the way, Joyce Blaine, are you in the house? Joyce Blaine. Joyce Blaine, you just won your choice of either a one-night stay at a Red Roof Inn or two $25 gift cards from Raising Cane's, and more importantly, you are now entered in the big drawing where you could win a trip to Jacksonville to see Houston and Jacksonville play. You could also get some golf out of the deal, and of course, the accommodations and everything all provided by ESPN 97.5, as well as the Golf Florida people. So that is very cool. Joyce, congratulations on that. We are at Luke's Lice House, like we like to tell you and remind you, hey, the Fred and AJ and the Blitz are coming up next. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock. There's 250 Miller Lite Coors Lights until 7 o'clock. 475, you call it. Saturday and Sunday, greatest place in Beaumont to watch football. Watch the college game Saturday. Watch the pro game Sunday. They'll have specials on those Miller Lite Coors Light buckets. They'll have the baseball playoffs on as well. And then, of course, Sunday for NFL football. There's no finer place to be than right here at Luke's Ice House. They have been, as always, for the second week in a row, fantastic to us. Your first time here. Really nice place. If they had a place like this in Houston, I definitely would partake.
I would be there. I mean, I would have a cigar right over here sitting on the side, having one of these fine libations. Oh, and by the way, my wife said, keep them dogs where they at.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. But my wife said some things we can't air on radio, so you better be careful next time you're in her company.
Lisa knows I love her. And yeah,
she knows that, but that's the only thing saving you at this point. But the Astros now gaining another run. They're up 5-1, bottom of the sixth, two outs. I already told you that there was a 72% chance to win the series if you win game one in a five-game series. If you go up 2-0, hey, let's start talking about the real deal. If they could get out of this series in three, that would be fantastic. They could set the pitching rotation a little bit better. They could be ready and primed and get some scouting time in to watch those Indians and the Yankees, which looks like the Indians are playing some great baseball right now, too. But it looks like your Astros are well on the way with two outs in the bottom of the sixth and a four-run lead of taking the first two games against the Boston Red Sox, Travis. And with that, Carlos Correa just hit a ball into the corner. That should probably score some more.
That's scoring two runs at least. Oh, that was a heck of a hit.
Plus, with a hit like that, Springer had a rough day yesterday. Springer hits a home run with the fact that Correa keeps hitting the ball. But the more important thing than anything else that you can say about what's going on right now, because you now have a six-run lead, there's no pressure on your bullpen.
No, not at all.
You can get the arms to get some experience if they haven't pitched in the playoffs before. You don't have to worry about taxing your closer and taxing some of the guys that might be put into a lot of use if this run goes a long way in the playoffs. Keuchel did his job just like Verlander did his. Now it doesn't matter who you pick for game three because you're in a commanding position in the series.
Oh, no question. I think right now Boston Red Sox third baseman is not keeping that hot corner cool, man. They've been going down that line, and they keep going down. I don't know if they got almost like a little shift on, but it's like he's not even in the picture for even attempting to make the play. So, Oh, my goodness. Oh, off the wall. I thought he was gone. Evan Gattis, man. I thought he stroke that thing, man.
Yeah, they are lighting it up again as another late-inning push by your Houston Astros continues to stay hot as an offensive team, continues to stay hot as a ball club. Now, 8-1 Astros as they continue to roll on. Bottom of the sixth, two out. So it looks like this one's all but over. That is fantastic as it looks like the Astros are getting ready to head on to the American League Championship Series.
In the words of Chick Hearn, the jello's jiggling, the ice is in the freezer, the refrigerator door is closed.
Yep, the milk is cold, and the seat is warm. And the postseason continues for your Astros while it looks like summer is about to begin, or vacation time about to begin for the Boston Red Sox. At least we hope so. So that looks like that. The rest of the baseball playoffs, we said, continue tonight with both series in the National League as well as the other American League series all underway and taking place again this evening. And, of course, a full weekend of college football on the horizon as well. So it should be a very busy weekend. And like I said, here in Beaumont at Luke's Ice House, it's been fantastic. The Popes, we want to thank the Popes for coming out and all the loyal fans.
Oh, no.
Thank you as well for always being here and being a part of our shows. We appreciate that. And, of course, the legends of Beaumont, Fred, AJ, and the Blitz coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You guys have yourself a great weekend. Barry will be back on Monday. Hopefully Nick will be back soon. But we appreciate you listening, and enjoy your weekend, everybody. For Travis Johnson and for John back at the studio, Will Blank here signing off. Have a great weekend. The Blitz is next, ESPN 97.5.